Mission Kona Podcast, where our focus is on highlighting age group athletes doing amazing things in the triathlon space. My name is Michelle Payne.
And I am Mike Payne. We are husband and wife, amateur triathletes, parents, and self-proclaimed coffee connoisseurs, both working in corporate America.
Mike is also a triathlon coach and recently qualified for Kona in October of 2023.
Michelle completed her first half Ironman in 2021 and plans to race a full Ironman in the near future.
This podcast is a journey to discovering what it takes to be competitive in triathlon, sharing stories, and finding the inspiration to go after challenging but worthwhile goals.
Thanks for joining us. We're glad you're here. Welcome to Mission Kona Podcast, the podcast that highlights age group athletes and their mission to Kona. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
We're doing a podcast today to learn a little bit about the host. Michelle will ask me some questions and I'll ask Michelle some questions, and our audience will get to a better idea of who we are as people, as triathletes, and find out what our goals are and why we're doing this podcast.
We hope that you can kind of relate to some aspects of who we are and kind of our journey to triathlon and what we do outside of training and competing, and just a chance to get to know us a little bit. So let's start with you, Mike. Tell us about you, who you are, where you're from, what you do.
Yeah. So my name's Mike Payne. I grew up in Davenport, Iowa. I still live here. If you're not familiar with Davenport, Iowa, it's part of the Quad Cities. It's most known for being the headquarters or being around near the headquarters for John Deere. We live right on the Mississippi River in Iowa. I went off to college with a bowling and golf scholarship, graduated from Minnesota State Mankato, and came back here. And I work in medical sales as my job. I started doing triathlon.
2014?
Yeah, 20. So this is probably my eighth or ninth year in triathlon. And I would say the first six of those years, I was middle or back of the pack. So nothing spectacular, but I had a drive to get better and see how good I can get.
Well, and I think what's unique, like you said, you did bowling and you did golf, not the top two endurance sports that I would choose. I think what's kind of inspirational about your journey is that really you had to learn how to swim, how to bike, and how to run. Those were all new sports to you, not anything that you had kind of formal training on.
Yeah.
You had to learn as an adult.
Absolutely. I mean, I think back to maybe eighth grade when we ran the mile in school, and I hated it. I was never physically fit either, so I was always kind of the chubby kid. And even throughout college and after college, the chubby kid became the fat kid. Maybe it was 2012. I weighed like 220 pounds. I thought I was like 30 or 40 pounds overweight. And I had a doctor tell me I was like pre-diabetic, and that was pretty scary. And I had a one-year-old or two-year-old at that time. It was a pretty scary time for sure.
So you did your first sprint triathlon was, I think it was 2013 that you did your first sprint triathlon. And this was after you'd done a half marathon. I guess that's kind of where you started with running.
Yeah. Actually, what's weird is my first, I think my first, I would quote unquote say an endurance event. I'd never done a 5K or anything like that. It was a half marathon, and I got a knee injury in like the final weeks of the build for that. And I knew I was most likely not going to finish the race, but I started anyways, and I only made it about halfway, and did a lot of walking, and then I just walked off the course. So my first race, St. Louis half marathon, was a DNF. But yeah, I think after that, it's weird. We moved to a new house, and we had a neighbor that was into triathlon. He was a college swimmer, And I remember just chatting to him about bike rides and bought a road bike, rode with him a couple of times. I think I went to the pool with him a few times and said, let me give this triathlon thing a shot. And I was hooked.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that too was because you had that running injury, the swimming and biking. It was kind of a way to keep up this newfound like passion for exercise, but not have the impact of running.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I still remember after finishing that sprint try, and it was nothing to write home about. I was just there to finish. I had like a 3-hour drive to go on vacation to meet the family. And I texted my neighbor who convinced me to set up for the sprint triathlon. I said, what's our next race? I was like already hooked, wanted to race something bigger than a sprint. And I think I did an Olympic triathlon next, just a couple months later.
You obviously continued to do a bit of everything. You did some running and kind of kept with triathlon. When did you do your first Ironman official race? Probably a 70.3.
Yeah. So I think it was the year after when I did the sprint in the Olympic. I did a 70.3 race scene. That was a fun experience. I mean, the training was just to finish. I think, you know, I was training very sporadically, not consistent at all. But I did enough volume to finish. And, you know, I did a lot of walking on the second half of the run, which many athletes do. And one thing I do remember from that day was it was a very cold swim. But it was a hot July day. So you would think it was refreshing to get in the water, but I just remember it was like 60 degrees or 59 degrees. And that was the coldest swim I've ever done.
So fast forward now, you've done 3 full Ironmans, more 70.3s than I could probably count, at least 2 or 3 each year. What would you say is your favorite race that you've done overall?
That's a great question. I've come back and done Muncie 70.3 3 times. I've done Steelhead twice as 70.3s. I would say my favorite race, and it was a destination race. It was Cozumel Ironman. Just the swim was beautiful. It did rain a lot on the ride, but it was very pretty. It was nice to get away with the family for the, you know, and spend a week in the tropical environment in Cozumel, and it's still my PR race for Ironman. I think it was 10:06 or 10:07, but I know I can do a lot better than that. So you know, it was a fun race, but I did a lot of walking in the second half of the run.
So who or what inspires you to keep at your triathlon journey?
Early on, some of my biggest inspirations have come when people have told me I can't do something. So I remember, you know, prior to losing all the weight that I lost, I remember someone saying, you're not going to lose this weight. You know, don't do this diet. It's a waste of time. And that was a big motivator for me. And I remember losing 30 pounds in a month. And I was like, look at it. I did it. And more recently I had somebody tell me, you can't qualify for Boston. You can't qualify for Kona. Those races are for, you know, the spectacular athletes. You're not one of those. And I just had to prove them wrong.
You did both of those.
I did. In 2022. I checked both of those boxes. But now begun to just love researching triathlon, researching coaching, trying to inspire other people to dream big and take chances. And, you know, me as a coach, getting to see people, you know, achieve huge results, it's pretty motivating.
Okay. So you mentioned coaching. That's something I know you well enough to know that you research everything to the nth degree, and that makes coaching a really good fit for you. Share kind of your experience as a coach over the past couple years and what you enjoy most about coaching.
The thing I enjoy most, having an athlete and coaching them for you know, 3 or 4 months and them saying, I can't believe I'm running the paces that I'm running, or I can't believe I'm pushing the power that I'm pushing, and challenging them even further and saying, well, you know, I knew you could get there and we're only scratching the surface. I think that's pretty exciting to see someone that has completely redefined what their goals are for what races they're going to be racing or what paces they're going to be racing them at.
Which of the three would you say is your favorite discipline?
I do enjoy running. So I would say the run, but over the past couple years, I've become a bike geek, and pretty soon the bike's going to be my favorite sport. And I think if I look at my recent race results, I've been performing a little bit better on the bike. And I just think for like scientific wise, there is a lot of advantages that you can tease out on the bike, whether it's aerodynamics, rolling resistance, bike workouts. You can really push the envelope on the bike more so than the run. The run you have to be careful with. And so I'm getting pretty excited about the bike.
What goals do you have here in the next year or two?
So I think in this, well, next year, I've got a couple big races. So I'm going to be racing Boston in April and Kona in October. And I'm not really thinking about either one of those races as, you know, I want to have this time. I want to have an awesome experience at both of those races. So I think the relatively short term, I would love to race an early summer 70.3 and have a massive PR. So right now, you know, my training is relatively light because I'm in the off season, but I'm going to be building to have some pretty substantial power for 70.3 and trying to run fast off of it. So I have yet to have a run sub hour 30. So that's a huge goal for me. And I would love to be able to do a sub 4:30 70.3. I've been close, but I haven't quite crossed that barrier yet.
All right, let's do some fun questions. What would you say is your superpower? And if you can't answer this, I'll answer it for you.
Okay, what's my superpower?
I would say Mike's superpower is his ability to turn his brain off. And
I do that. I do that often.
As his wife, I'd say that annoys me a lot. But as an athlete, when you get to a you know, tough spot and you have to power through, I think that ends up being a superpower you can use to your advantage.
That's funny. Yeah, I think Michelle needs to work on this superpower because I think she overthinks a lot of things. But when I'm racing, if something's painful, I can turn my brain off. I do that while I swim a lot. And at Ironman Wisconsin this year, I had to do it most of the time because it was such miserable conditions. And if I thought about how miserable the conditions were, I would have quit.
All right. What would you say is your favorite food?
I like a lot of foods. I don't think there's a food I don't like. I think my last three meals were Mexican, so that probably is the answer. I'm a Mexican food fan, and that's probably why my favorite race is Cozumel.
Good point. What about your favorite podcast or maybe YouTube channel?
I listen to a lot of podcasts during the day. I travel a lot for work, so I do have that free time. Recently, I think Eric and Paula, that Triathlon Life podcast is really good. I enjoy that. I do like to listen to other podcasts about scientific training. Anytime I get to hear how the pros train, I enjoy listening to those podcasts. The YouTube channel that maybe... this might surprise some people, but Dylan Johnson, he's a endurance cyclist, gravel cyclist. He has a podcast and he digs into the science on training. He digs in the science on rolling resistance. And I don't know. I just, I, I can listen to those podcasts and just take a lot of notes and learn from them.
Cool. So, and to close out our conversation with you, who is your celebrity doppelganger?
I've heard many people call this out. So the doppelganger that I've been told, it's the character from American Pie. His nickname in the show was Shitbrick. But he, I think it's Finch is his name in the show. I remember teachers in high school, random people asked me, am I that character? It's not a great one, I don't think, but it's happened multiple times, so I must look just like him. All right, so I want to get to know, and I think our audience wants to get to know who Michelle is and what her responsibility is in this podcast. So, Michelle, tell us about you.
All right, well, I am a wife and a mother of three, and I am a CPA by day, and I also have a side business where I do decorated sugar cookies, and I am a runner and kind of a newbie triathlete. I will still consider myself new to the triathlon sport. Let's see, Mike and I have been together for over 20 years, so over half of our lives together. So we both were not super athletic in our younger years. I also was a bowler. I did swim in high school, but it was more for social. I was by no means competitive. But I did know how to swim, and I did that all 4 years. I avoided running at all costs. I also hated the mile. I didn't understand why anybody would ever do track or cross country. That made no sense to me. Like, running was definitely a punishment. And most of the sports I did, running was not a component of it. So that's kind of the beginning of my athletic background.
So when did you start getting into running, and how quickly did you start really enjoying it?
So let's see, we had our daughter in 2010 and then a son in 2011. And after that, I mean, two kids in a year and a half, I was ready to do something. And running seemed like the easiest thing to do. It seemed easy to just buy some shoes and walk out the door. And one of my cousins convinced me to run. We have a popular race here. It's a 7-mile race called the Bix. And it's a tough course. It's got some big hills. 7 miles isn't, you know, a quick and easy 5K. So we decided that was going to be our goal. Let's do this 7-mile race. We decided that in January. I was like 1 month postpartum at that point. So not even quite running yet, but we decided that in January and the race would be in July. So that began my running journey. Started running, had every issue you could think of. My knees had problems, shin splints. I was very slow, didn't know what I was doing, but just kept at it. I don't know. There was something really enjoyable about it. So then I showed up on that July morning and I ran my first race, the 7 miles.
Awesome. And then did you immediately start looking at half marathons and marathons and just trying to increase the distance?
So at that point, I was really enjoying, you know, getting outside for an hour to myself. And I had a friend who told me, you just ran 7 miles. How about you just continue your training and do a half marathon with me in September? So again, I thought that sounded crazy, but she was very convincing. So I began to ramp up my mileage. I don't even think I had a training plan. I think I just thought in my head, what should I be doing? I tried to get out every couple days to run, increase my distance. And so I did my first half marathon in September. And I mean, I think I ended up running a 2:08 maybe for my first half marathon with really no running background. I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, at what point did you do a triathlon? I know I had started doing them and you thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. But at some point I convinced you to get a bike. I convinced you to start swimming again and actually get in a lake. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, my first year of running was 2012. So it was the next year that Mike started getting into triathlons, and I also had some neighbors that were interested in it too, tried to convince me. And I'm just like, I'm liking this running thing. I'll kind of stick with this running thing. I did end up signing up for the sprint triathlon in 2014, the one you had done the prior year, but found out I was pregnant with our third child. So I didn't do any running or anything for that, the year 2014. But thought I would redeem myself in 2015 and sign up for that sprint triathlon again. I was maybe 5-6 months postpartum at that point. I just had a road bike, nothing special. I think I went out on rides twice, had maybe a couple runs in, and maybe got to the pool once or twice, and never open water swam. So I did that first sprint triathlon. I got in the lake and had a complete panic attack. Had no idea what was happening to me. I couldn't breathe. It was terrifying, but somehow pulled myself together and just kept going. And I think I ended up with like a 11 or 12 minute swim. Like, it really wasn't terrible. But I was so happy to be out of that lake, got on the bike. I just remember getting passed by really old people. Like, I was just out there. I think I was still in shock from the swim. I couldn't even tell you how fast I was going. I had no data whatsoever. So, got to the run and I couldn't run. My legs wouldn't move. I walked a lot of it. It was really a miserable experience. And like, I got to the finish line and I told myself, never, ever will I do a triathlon ever again.
That's awesome. So how long did it take you to actually sign up for another triathlon?
I honestly don't know.
It was a couple of years.
I mean, sure. Many years.
Yeah.
So that was 2015. I don't think I did.
2019?
Was it 2020? Yeah. 2020. Yeah, I guess it was. And I continued to run through all this time. I did, you know, I PR'd a half marathon. I actually did a few marathons. Once I decided triathlon's not for me, I just kind of went full blown into running. And I think it was the pandemic that got me like, well, we got a Peloton. So I started biking. I had a friend that convinced me, hey, let's go to the pool a couple times. Well, more like once or twice a week. So I did that. And then Mike's like, you're swimming, you're biking, and you're running. So decided to give triathlon another try.
And did the second race go much better than the first?
Yes.
Did you have another panic attack?
No, actually, I didn't have a panic attack in the water. I made sure I got in the open water. I think that's where my panic attacks happened, was in practice. I mean, sure. The first time we went open water swimming in 2020, I couldn't swim. I couldn't put my face in. I couldn't breathe. I was like full blown panicking. I was doggy paddling. I was there with a group of people and it was embarrassing, but like, I don't know. I couldn't swim. So I just kept forcing myself. Like, I talked to myself, you know, you can do this. You know how to swim. And just kept trying it and kept trying it until I got comfortable. And yeah, so doing that 2020 sprint, I actually did not have a panic attack I really enjoyed the swim, and that was a fun race. My biking obviously had improved quite a bit. My running had improved quite a lot. So it was fun. I think I finished second in my age group for my first triathlon back.
And then I think you signed up for a 70.3. You did another sprint and another 70.3. So you now I would say you're a veteran triathlete. You're not just a runner who does triathlon on the side. So tell me, like, in all of your endurance sports, you've raced quite a few different races now. What is your best result in any kind of race that you can kind of hang your hat on?
Well, I would say in 2021 is when I started to make huge gains. I also lost about 30 pounds, really started working with Mike as my coach to really dial in my training plan, started doing all three disciplines. My previous half marathon PR was a 1:52, which I thought I'd never touch again. So I ended up doing a race in May of 2021 and I ran a 1:47. And that was incredible. I was so proud, so happy about that race. But as the year went on, I ended up, so the half Ironman I did that same year, I think my half marathon was a 1:48.
So off the bike.
Yeah. So I'd obviously had some fitness gains. And then February of 2022, I had almost an hour PR on my marathon and a Boston qualifying time of 3:26. And then a couple months later, I had a half marathon PR of 1:36.
Wow.
So
over the course of, let's call it a year or maybe 18 months, you went from a 1:48 to a 1:36 for a half marathon. And you qualified for Boston with a huge marathon PR. So that's pretty incredible. What are some of your goals going into 2023 season?
I've really enjoyed the kind of cadence of 1:70.3 a year, which isn't much volume, but it kind of keeps me engaged in the summer months training for that. I will run Boston in April. And beyond that, I'm really not sure. Mike would love me to say that I'm going to do an Ironman. I originally would say never. I will never do a full Ironman, but I'm at least thinking about it. I have some bike skills to work on. So I think that's a big kind of unknown, scary thing for me. I tend to ride on my trainer, and if I'm going to do 112 miles, I need to know how to handle my bike a little better. Hmm. So,
yeah, I think that's a good call out. I think next year, spending some time outdoors before you sign up for full Ironman might be a great idea. But let's ask some fun questions to finish the podcast out. What would you say your superpower is? And I think I know the answer to this.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Why don't you give me your answer?
I have a really good sense of smell. I have no idea how that helps in the triathlon space. I really think it doesn't. If anything, it makes the lake water even worse as I swim. But I'd say that's my superpower, but again, not a very good one.
Nobody wants that superpower. She walks in the house, she's like, what is that smell? And she looks at me and I don't have a sense of smell. And I'm like, I have no idea. What about a celebrity doppelganger?
It's been many years since people have said it to me, but I used to get all the time, Jenna Fisher from The Office.
Yeah,
that was
for sure. What is your favorite food?
I like salads and I like salmon.
When Michelle and I started dating, we were, let's just say 16. I think the first time we started dating, we were 14, but when we were 16 and we'd go out to dinner, she would always order the same thing on the menu. And she did this all the way through college, I think. Chicken fingers. Anywhere we went, chicken fingers. And I eventually got her to try some different foods, but there's still quite a bit of stuff that she won't try. And now, if she any restaurant she goes to, I can almost guarantee she's going to get some kind of salad. So
yes, I'm boring and not a very good cook, so I prefer other people to cook for me.
So in the last, this is a pretty amazing, you know, I'm going to ask her what her favorite podcast is or YouTube, but just a year ago, she hated listening to triathlon podcasts, didn't know anything about the professional triathlon fields. But now I'll be hearing her AirPod playing, and it's almost always either a running podcast or a triathlon podcast. So what is your favorite podcast?
Well, the major category you're forgetting is that I really like true crime podcasts. So Moms and Murder and Crime Junkies, I would say, are my top two in that category. But yes, I listen to a lot of podcasts while I decorate cookies. So, and I'm on the trainer too and running. But favorite athletic-related podcasts, I really like Allie on the Run. That Triathlon Life. And I like the Iron Women podcast. They always have good guests on.
Yeah,
I'd say those are my top three. It is fun getting to learn more about the triathlon space. It gets me excited, kind of adds a little push I need sometimes. Mike's very much into the research and I'm more like just into the fun stuff. So,
yeah, I think it's, you know, us being a husband and wife that both do endurance sports and both, you know, doing at least a 70.3 or a full Ironman, it does make it sometimes challenging for us to manage schedules. And, but I really do enjoy the fact that we can talk about something that we are both interested in and we can share stories. And, you know, just over the course of the last few weeks, you know, we watched the Ironman World Championships together. We watched 70.3 World Championships together. And it's pretty fun that we can both share in that. And now our kids are kind of looking up and looking at these professional athletes, and I hope they're inspired by what they're doing. And I hope they're inspired by what we do as parents. So I enjoy this, and this is, it's fairly unique that as a couple that we're both into triathlon.
Yeah. And I think there is a lot of benefit. Like, of course, we have to coordinate our schedules and who's taking the kids where and how are we fitting workouts in. But I think it ends up being a motivation for the other person too, just, you know, knowing, okay, he got his workout in, it's my turn to get my workout in. So the mutual support for the same kind of hobby is good.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us on this podcast today. We look forward to bringing you new podcasts, hopefully every week or every other week, around different triathlon related topics. If you're ever interested in being a guest on the podcast, or if you have recommendations for shows we should do, please feel free to reach out, contact us on Instagram or on email. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for giving us a chance to share a little bit about ourselves. And we hope you enjoy the episodes here in the future. Thank you for listening to Mission Kona Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Do you know an athlete who has a great story for a future podcast? Send us a message at missionkonapodcast.com.
Reach out anytime through our website or on Instagram at Mission Kona Podcast.
Till next time, think positive, have fun, and stay focused on your mission to Kona.